This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. One of the world's rarest butterflies lives here in North Carolina. In fact, the St. Francis Satyr exists only at Fort Bragg. The butterfly was discovered in 1983 at the military base, and 7 years later, biologists declared the species extinct. But the butterfly is now back. It was rediscovered, and it owes its existence to artillery training. Michigan State University biology professor Nick Haddad recounts the lessons he learned about conservation and military collaboration in his new book. It's called The Last Butterflies, A Scientist's Quest to Save a Rare and Vanishing Creature. Nick is with me in studio today. Nick, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Brian Ball. He's a staff wildlife biologist at Fort Bragg, and he manages the St. Francis Satyr program. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thank you.
And John Garrow is the Range Operations Training Lands Coordinator, also at Fort Bragg. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, let's start with you. Let's paint a picture of this butterfly. What does it look like, and how many were there when you first started working at Fort Bragg?
So, the St. Francis Satyr, I mean, I just have to be honest. This is not the big, showy butterfly that we all think of. It's not a monarch. In fact, well, it's the opposite. It's a one-inch-wide brown butterfly, and you know, then to someone like me, I mean, I love butterflies. So what I see is its subtle beauty. I see on this brown, there's stripes that are rust colored and there are spots that are silvery. And so when I see it, well, I see the beauty, but some people that I talk to, what they see also, it's interesting biology. And I think the most surprising thing to people, including me, is that this butterfly lives as an adult for 3 days. So it has to do everything, like find a mate, the females have to lay eggs, all within a three-day period. And, you know, the final thing that, I mean, this is one of the rarest butterflies in the world. And so just to see one, every day I'm out there with students or any myself, to see every individual, it just brings, you know, brings a bit of joy.
It's such an incredible story to think about this species existing only here in North Carolina on Fort Bragg, and we're going to get into all of the reasons why that is in a minute. But tell me about how you first came to work on Fort Bragg as part of this conservation effort.
Yeah, so if I look back on my life and career, I never expected that I'd be even a butterfly biologist, but I did learn something about butterflies in graduate school, and then I landed at NC State. Well, I was now the butterfly person, and within a year, the biologist at Fort Bragg called me and said, would you come help us in figuring out the biology and the conservation of this endangered butterfly, St. Francis Satyr? And honestly, when I started, I thought I'd be there for one, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years. And I also, I mean, this is the sad side for me is I thought, you know, I have the skills as a conservation biologist to see this thing en route to conservate its conservation. And in fact, I didn't know that much. And for the first few years, things went all wrong. And so when I arrived at Fort Bragg, well, we counted, I think, 1,600 butterflies. And I mean, that's a tiny, tiny number, except that we saw it decline year after year. And I mean, as somebody who's a conservation biologist, watching one population after another disappear, I mean, here I was almost overseeing its extinction. I mean,
so here you are. Yeah, you're brought on. We thought it was extinct. We realize it's not. You're brought on and you say, okay, let's pause human interference here and let's try to bring this butterfly back. And then you there as a conservationist are then watching the population decline. So you ended up changing your strategy at a certain point. Tell me about that turning point.
So just to think about the butterfly at the beginning, I thought, all right, I'm going to come in. And what's going to be the first rule of thumb? It's to like let nature take its course. These butterflies have lived here for thousands, tens of thousands of years. And, you know, they functioned in a natural system. So if we step back and let nature have at it, well, these butterflies should at least be stable in their populations. But, you know, I started in 2002 and 2005. I saw a population Be Lost, and then in 2007, another, in 2009, another, in 2010, two more, in 2011, and another one, to the point where the butterflies I could see, there was one small population left. I mean, we had dug ourselves into such a deep hole. I think at the time I didn't see a vision for getting out, but then working with others, and I mean, especially Brian and my students, we thought, you know, we just need to flip this thing on its head. And one of the key parts of this butterfly's existence is it lives in a world of natural disturbance. It's a very chaotic world for the butterfly where, you know, features of the environment. In this case, this butterfly lives in open wetlands. Well, it's disturbances like fire and like beavers creating dams to create wetlands that that allow the butterfly to persist. And so we thought, you know, if it needs these natural disturbances and they're not coming in, well, guess what? We have to be the ones to do what nature would do.
So you discover that what this butterfly actually needs is a pretty volatile environment. And it turns out that there is one of those volatile environments right there on Fort Bragg, and that is the artillery range. So I want to get a sense, Brian, you are the staff wildlife biologist there. Describe this artillery range for us and how it is a habitat that is so welcome for these butterflies.
So what makes the impact areas on Bragg so special for butterfly and for many, many rare species is fire. With the impact and the impact areas, we shoot artillery, flight tracers, flares, starts fire. And the difference, the cool thing about it is once a fire starts in the impact area, it's a wildfire. It runs natural and it burns through these drains. And these fires may last a day or two. They may go for 3 weeks. They just burn naturally and they are able to get hot enough to actually burn through these drains. So these drains are constantly burned, sometimes on a 1-2 year cycle. And this is where we find all of our rare, or many of our rare species. That keeps these drains open. It keeps the mid-story clear, and the diversity on the ground for the plants and the butterfly is absolutely amazing.
So it's so surprising because we would think of as an artillery range as a place that is not very welcome to living creatures, but it actually turns out that the volatility that exists there is exactly the thing that makes this a habitat that the butterflies can survive in. And I wonder from you, John, you work out in these artillery ranges. Can you describe to people who don't know what an artillery range is, what exactly happens there? What are we looking at?
So on Fort Bragg, a lot of people don't realize it's the largest military installation in the world based on personnel trained. So there's 55,000 active duty soldiers that need to maintain a state of readiness at all times. And so we have four impact areas. They encompass 33,000 acres. So it's a large chunk of land. Around the perimeter of these four impact areas, we have 83 fixed ranges and live fire ranges. And then outside of there, we have various artillery firing points. And the sole purpose of these areas is to be a restricted space to receive munitions. So daily, they're shot into anything from a 155 millimeter artillery shell down to a small M4. And so again, Brian referenced the tracers and the pyrotechnic type incendiary devices. Those all start fires, and so daily, you're getting the vegetation's shot up, it's burned, and so it creates that disturbance that the butterfly thrives on.
So Nick, you're a biologist. I imagine being around these pyrotechnic situations is not very common for you, but you did end up going out and you have spent a lot of time out in these artillery ranges. Walk me through what that experience was like.
Well, I don't spend a lot of time doing this. I spend almost no time doing it. But the first time I went into this artillery range, I mean, I think we all can imagine what we'd expect it to be like. I mean, the first thing I expected to see was a moonscape, a place where no butterfly in its right mind would want to live. And then beyond that, when I had access, well, we were accompanied by trained individuals, we always are, who think about safety for us, right? And so here I am looking at the shells of ordnance that had exploded. So they're just, you know, shell fragments. But, you know, here, I don't know what they are. We're with the trained professionals. But, you know, these little shards of metal or whatever, I'm tiptoeing gingerly around. And, you know, that was my initial view. My view has since changed because, well, first, I mean, I'm a biologist, conservation biologist, and I think people may not believe me when I say these are among the most beautiful places in North Carolina. We think of beaches or we think of mountains as having these beautiful environments and beautiful views. But when I walk into the areas of these ranges, they are just astounding. And so since then, that was my first impression. Since then, I know that the Army allows me into the safest places. And so I'm, you know, comfortable. When I say comfortable, you know, of course, I'm thankful for the professionals who are taking us to the safest places. And so in the end, it ends up being, you know, really a great adventure. I'm fortunate. I'm, you know, one of the only biologists who is allowed into these areas. And I'm, you know, thankful for the opportunity to be able to contribute to the success of this butterfly and work as partners with the military who, frankly, I mean, if the military weren't there, this butterfly would now be extinct without question.
It's probably important also to point out, like, we're not actually going to the impact box, like the moonscape stuff. The good habitat is surrounding that. So the fires may start where the artillery is hitting, but the fires spread out. And so it's the area surrounding that moonscape is where we get habitats that kind of look like pre-settlement, what we think it would have looked like before pre-settlement, you know.
So you talk about now the work of mimicking the things that are happening in that habitat, the fires, the beavers, and the ability for this wetland to exist. Can you talk about what conservation looks like now and how that is shaped by what you've learned on the artillery range?
Okay, so like we said, there's two disturbances. Like Nick said, there's fire and beavers that we think is important for this butterfly. The fire part, fire starts there. It burns like a natural wildfire. It's able to get through the drains. So in Fort Bragg, we have a big prescribed fire burn program through the forestry department or branch. And we burn between 40 and 50,000 acres a year on average control burns, prescribed fire, sometimes up to 60,000. One issue we do have, it's kind of hard to mimic a wildfire with prescribed fire because we try to keep it somewhat under control as best we can. In the 70s, 60s, up into the 80s, when we had fires on Bragg, wildlife beliefs were to keep the fire out of the drains. And so a lot of the drains had fire kept out of them. Now we know we need fire in the drains. So that's one of our big goals, to introduce fire back into the drains. Once fire's been excluded from a drain, it's really hard to get it back in there without basically having a catastrophic fire. So that's one of our big goals with the prescribed fire.
Explain what a drain is.
A creek.
Okay.
In the Sand Hills, North Carolina, if a creek area floodplain is not burned, it gets super, super thick, ton of briars, and you just barely can walk. You can't penetrate it. Impact areas, it's like walking through a park almost.
Okay. And the other thing that you all have been able to do is kind of mimic the behavior of these beavers to try to preserve the wetland aspect of the landscape. And one of the big lessons that you've learned, Nick, is that you can't, in order to save the species, some individuals have to die. Tell me about that and the lesson that was for you.
So, I mean, I think, you know, you can imagine that if I'm going to protect an endangered butterfly, one of the rarest butterflies in the world, the last thing I want to do is see a butterfly die. And so that's where I had this hands-off approach and yet was watching the butterfly decline and decline. And what I learned is that, you know, this turbulent habitat, well, if there's no natural disturbance or a disturbance that we impose, the habitat gets worse and worse. The ideal world for this butterfly is an open, grassy wetland. But, you know, vegetation is productive here. And so shrubs and trees grow in, and that excludes the butterfly. And so what I've learned is, yes, and I still, it makes me cringe to say it, but we have to be willing to kill some butterflies to save the butterfly species. And so what does this mean? It means that we have to introduce disturbances like fire or like flooding, like beavers do. And, you know, butterflies, they don't survive fire and they can't swim. So if so we have to be willing to do that to reset the habitat. And I think of this butterfly as like a Goldilocks, like it can't have no disturbance that causes habitat to become terrible. Butterflies can't live there. And if we have too much disturbance, in other words, we kill all the butterflies, well, that's, you know, they're toast. And so we have to have some balance. And that's the key, or what we think is the key after 20 years of doing this, to the butterfly survival.
And briefly, Brian, what are the challenges of navigating the conservation efforts and the needs of the military on Fort Bragg?
So the military is the reason Fort Bragg is there. It's not a nature preserve. It's there for training and having, you know, the units ready to go fight. I always see my role, Fort Bragg, is kind of being that middleman between military and Fish and Wildlife Service. And we try to mitigate, you know, make sure there's nothing systematically through training or whatever it is damaging the environment. Because soldiers need that environment to train now. They're going to need it 20 years from now, 100 years from now. So we try to make sure those resources are protected to the best of our ability.
And in 10 seconds, Nick, if there's one conservation lesson that you've learned from the story of this butterfly that can be applied elsewhere, what would that be?
It's to work with partners that academics can work with, natural resource professionals that work with. In this case, we're working with the Army. You have to work as a team to make conservation happen.
Nick Haddad is a professor of biology at Michigan State University and the author of The Last Butterflies, A Scientist's Quest to Save a Rare and Vanishing Creature. Brian Ball is a staff wildlife biologist at Fort Bragg. And John Garrow is the Fort Bragg Range Operations Training Lands Coordinator. Thanks so much to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
You can find a photo of the butterfly and much more about all of the work going on at Fort Bragg at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Grant Hall of Mormon. Robin Copley is the technical director. I'm Anita Rao.